You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
Hey man, this is your boy Al Mega. Welcome to a brand new Comic Crusaders podcast. And today, we talking to a game changing creator in the industry right now. Has been in the business doing dope books. I know you touched some of them. I mean, don't lie. I mean, Chicago based writer and artist got a fire book dropping called Thirsty Mermaids that I've been having a blast reading. It's the holidays. I think it is a perfect stocking stuffer for real for your comic book fan and your life outside of the superhero narrative. We're going to get into it. Definitely a hell of a fun book. D1. The only cat. Please tell me I get this right. Lay. Whoa, Cat Lay. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Well, thanks for coming through, and thank you, for being such an awesome creator, sharing your stories and putting yourself out there and creating such fire gems, getting involved with so many fire different books. So we're about to get into your journey right now. We love our good origin story. So Kat, let us know where you were OG from and what was the first thing in fandom that you ever fell in love with?
So I was born in Iowa, but my family moved around a lot. We were never anywhere for very long. So I say I'm from the Midwest. I live in Chicago right now. And first fandom is a good question because I'm sure I was in fandoms before I knew what the word was. It was definitely some cartoon. I was really into gargoyles in the 90s.
Heck yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog when I was even younger. So I've just always been, I obsess about the media that I consume.
Was it around you as you were growing up, or was something you had to find on your own?
So I would watch cartoons, but with comic books specifically, I didn't start reading them until I was in high school because I didn't have any access to them. There weren't any in the bookstores that I went to. So it took me a pretty long time to actually start reading comics.
Yeah. Hello? You broke up a little bit. What was that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you now. So what was that?
All right.
Something comics, and then it just blurred out.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was saying how I hadn't actually started reading comics until high school because I didn't have any access to them other than the Sunday paper strips that I read.
All right, so how did you get the access? How did you find them?
I found webcomics and manga in the library. Oh, and
what's manga? You remember?
I don't remember the very first, but I was really into Naruto and One Piece.
Okay.
And Bleach. And I'm still reading One Piece to this day. So.
Hey. Nice. You got them gems, I'm sure. You got the collection? Or you read them digitally?
I read them digitally. I have a few books with my favorite stories, but I would literally need a new bookshelf if I wanted to collect all of One Piece and all of the other manga that I read. So I read a lot of things digitally.
I get let us save some room in case you ever move, right?
Yeah.
It's backbreaking to have a collection, I tell you that. Shit. All right. So, all right, were you around other geeks as you were growing up, in your fandom? Were you a lone wolf in what you enjoyed?
I definitely met people along the way, but I saw myself as pretty lonely. I was the only kid I knew that read manga for a really long time. I always lived in small towns, and I'm sure there were other kids reading it, but also didn't talk about it. And it was seen as kind of just dweeby to read manga at that time. It hadn't really caught fire like the way that it has these days. So it was still kind of nerdy, and I just didn't really talk about it with other kids.
What a difference, as you say, from how it was back in the day. to now.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. All right, so talk about then getting creative, all right? You know, it wasn't so around you, but what made you want to start kind of stepping into to it and sharing stories and putting it actually out there? What was that like? But how did you start?
Yeah, so I always loved to draw. Like, everyone starts out drawing when they're a little kid, and I loved it, and I never stopped drawing. I was always making stories and doing illustrations, drawing the fan art of characters. And when I got older and I started reading comics, it didn't take me too long to figure out I could start making my own. Like I said, I didn't really know anyone else who was into comics. So I thought I was kind of too shy to find a writer. So I just wrote my own, and I put them on DeviantArt, I think was the first place I ever posted a comic online.
When was it? What year are we talking about when you started doing it?
This would have been like 2007, 2008.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
When
okay.
I was first posting things online, probably. The first comic I ever drew was super ambitious. It was like 73 pages long, and I posted the whole thing on DeviantArt. And then I started drawing shorter comics, and I posted them on Tumblr. Like, I think max 6 or 12 page comics I would put on Tumblr, and they got popular enough that was how my first editor saw any of my work. And oh, I got my first paid job was with Boom Studios doing an Adventure Time short comic.
Adventure Time. So were you familiar with Adventure Time prior?
Yeah. I was watching all the Cartoon Network shows. And,
yeah. But yeah. Tune in at night, baby. Let's go. And in the morning and in the evening. I do it all the time, too. Don't you put me around a Cartoon Network town back in the day. That's what I would watch. People think, what are you doing? I said, I'd rather watch this than the news.
Yes, still, to this day, true.
Absolutely. Excellent. All right, so you got into Booms. How is that navigating that side of the journey now? You know, now you're fresh in the game. You know, any new experiences that kind of felt like, whoa, you know, I didn't expect this. Any new lessons learned as you were stepping in?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a surprise. It caught me off guard getting kind of my first paid work, because at the time I was trying to be an illustrator for children's books or editorials or something like that. And I know around the time, I think maybe even before I got my first paid job, I'd gone to San Diego Comic-Con for the first time. It was my first convention ever.
Yes. Oh, that was the
overwhelming.
A big show. Oh my God, Kat. How did you feel? Before even you answer that, had you gone to cons prior to this, or was this like your first experience overall?
It was my first convention.
Period. Yo. You got spoiled real quick. So talk about
the experience. Yeah. It's the most overwhelming experience a person can have, almost, San Diego Comic-Con. The lines are all incredibly long, and the things that you can see there just like blow your tiny little, like, I was probably, I don't remember, maybe 19 or so. And I met Mike Mignola, and I met all these other people that were just at their tables signing books, and I couldn't talk to anybody. I was painfully shy. It was it was incredible. And then I started going to the Chicago Comic-Cons, which are much more, not only smaller, but more comics focused. I mean, the thing about San Diego is that it is so focused now on the movies and the TV shows, which is super exciting. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of as a whole, and not much an emphasis on comics anymore.
Yeah, so going to C2E2 is the Chicago Comic-Con, and that one was even better looking back on it, because it felt so much more intimate. And the artist alley was, it felt like more of a focus of the show. And so I was able to take my time and walk through the tables and see all the people that, again, books that I had read, sitting there signing things, and it was all very exciting. And it really, it gave me my love for the, like, culture, the comics community, and that sort of thing, because everyone you meet is so just kind and down to earth and generous with their time.
So talk about your journey then. Now, you know, you're getting these opportunities, you're working on these other properties, you know, I mean, Lumberjanes and all also, I mean, it's a big joint. I mean, how did you get those ops?
Yeah, Lumberjanes was really my big kind of break into the comics industry. I had been doing a lot of short comics, like I said, for Boom Studios. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that steadily for a couple years. It was a lot of Bravest Warriors, Adventure Time, covers here and there. I was doing these short comics, and the whole while I was thinking of myself as an artist and not so much a writer. And so when N.D. Stevenson was leaving Lumberjanes to go work on She-Ra and all the other stuff that he does, my editors asked if I wanted to write a test script for Lumberjanes, which caught me off guard because, like I said, all of the comics that I had been making were all comics that I was drawing. Yeah. And I wouldn't be drawing this one. So it was kind of intimidating, but I tried it and I kind of got the hang of it after a while. I didn't have to draw little thumbnails for every single page that I was writing, even though that's how it started. Because I'm a visual thinker. And yeah, started work on Lumberjanes was, again, it was kind of a game changer. It gave me this built-in audience because the series was already so popular and so beloved. So when I went to my first convention as a creator, I was sitting between Shannon Waters, who's my co-writer and also my editor at the time, and N.D. Stevenson, who was tabling there. And Nimona had just come out, which was obviously huge. And it was, again, very overwhelming, but all in a very positive way. And I felt very, very welcomed by everyone there and excited to do more with that series.
Wonderful. All right. So you're doing that. Now you got a new baby, you know, that's right here. This one right here. We were talking about in the green room that, you know, I was reading it prior to our, like I always do, I like to read the things just to keep it fresh in my mind prior to, and hopefully try to finish. But this one I got halfway as well so far, and I got to finish it afterwards because it's fun bringing a smile on my face. I mean, it's like, okay, what are you doing here, Kat? So, you know, talk about this. I mean, what's the inspiration behind the Thirsty Mermaids? Where did this idea come from? Because definitely hella fun. I'm digging it.
Well, thank you. Both of my graphic novels that have come out were based off of ideas that I kind of thought would be shorts. I mentioned that I did a lot of short comics and I was used to writing 22-page issues for Lumberjanes. And so I was kind of thinking smaller and I was thinking of a short comic where, you know, we all are very familiar with the Little Mermaid story, and also people really like to riff off of fairy tales and make them, you know, change them in some interesting way. Or so that's kind of what I was thinking for this one. I wanted to have some mermaids that were coming on land, not because they had seen a human and wanted to become a human so that they could be in love. I wanted them to be like drunk and kind of messy and body and not understand clothing, because why would a mermaid wear a shell bra? And I kind of thought of just this one night that they would have on land, And then they would change back into mermaids in the morning and go back to the sea. And that would be the story. But I just thought it was such a fun concept, because as soon as you think of any alien coming to our culture is going to have an interesting point of view that they bring to it and not understand certain things that we take for granted. And that's just a really fun premise for a story. You know, you see it again and again, and it's kind of fun every time. And so I kept thinking about the characters and what they could do, and the longer story grew from that.
Okay, but so as a writing artist, then, you know, how do you balance the storytelling and the visuals in your graphic novels? And is there a particular aspect that you find more challenging or rewarding?
So for me, I always think of the visuals first. I don't write scripts for comics that I'm also going to be the artist for, because I imagine the scene and I start by figuring out how those are going to lay out on a page. So I'll start with some scene and decide where the surprises are going to be and the pacing of the pages. And then I go back and we'll figure out the dialogue so that the panels are paced in a way that it makes sense to me. And so I always start by drawing, and then I kind of will jump around and do the scenes that I have in my head that I know really well, and then work on what connects those scenes together. And that's usually how I'll put a book together, is just slowly figuring out the important scenes and then sewing them together.
So we're talking scenes here. So how do you approach the character development then, particularly in those fantastical settings like Thirsty Mermaids?
I do a lot of doodling. Usually if I think of a character, there's some aspect of the character that I know how they're going to look. For the three main mermaids in Thirsty Mermaids, I wanted them each to look really distinct from each other, because I wanted them to represent different kinds of sea life and also humans. And there's, I mean, limitless weird sea creatures and weird people that you can draw. So that was a lot of fun. And those three characters looked pretty close to their final versions from the start. I knew I wanted one of them to be an eel, and she just kept getting weirder the more I drew her. So I really just leaned into her alien nature in her character design.
Excellent. All right. So I want to know here. So in what ways do you think the Thirsty Mermaids contributes to the representation of diverse characters and narratives in graphic novels? There's a lot of stuff going on, even from the bit that I read. I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. I'm digging it. I'm a New Yorker too, so like everything, I'm just vibing with the book, having a great time reading. I was like, all right, this feels so natural.
Well, good. As far as representation goes, I think that we all know that there are certain types of people that don't get drawn in books or represented in media very often. So one of the things that I really like to always have in my stories are people who look and are like people that I know in my life, and people that I would like to know, and people that I just want to see more of. So I always like to do a lot of different body types and different sexualities for the characters, different gender identities. It just kind of naturally feels like there's a void of characters like that. That is kind of a delight to imagine more and create characters that kind of fill that void.
All right. So can you discuss then the transition from creating single issue comics to crafting graphic novels, you know, like Thirsty Mermaids? Because this is a thick one too. This is definitely, you know, some shelf porn, as I like to call it. It'll be a nice thick one to have in your show. So, I mean, for real, so are there any distinct challenges or joys in each format when you work on them?
The 22 page issues can be a challenge to fit. Most Earth Lumberjanes was 4 issues per story arc. So you'd have 4 issues to do one story arc. And sometimes the challenge will be having enough things happening in one issue to fill it up, or vice versa. You have to cram in a bunch of story elements and plot points in one issue so the pacing works. And one of the really nice things about working on graphic novels after working on the issues, monthly issues, was that I really got to let certain scenes breathe. I could kind of let more time, or I could use more pages to tell a single part in a story than I would have been able to with the 22 pages. But also writing within a structure gets to be, like, once you've done it for a while, it gets to be very sort of easy, because it's because you're limited, so you can't imagine 1,000 different ways to do something. You have to complete a story within a certain number of pages, so that can make things a little easier, move a little faster. But I really do like the freedom that comes with drawing a graphic novel.
Excellent. All right, so let me ask you, how do you envision then the impact of Thirsty Mermaids on readers, especially in terms of its themes and storytelling?
I hope that people who read that book are delighted by the lack of, I suppose, stereotypes. I want them to read it and feel kind of refreshed by some of the unique characters or the things that they do. I would love for people to read it and imagine, you know, a bunch of other situations that these characters could get in, because it's really just they can make taking out the trash a whole thing. So,
oh yeah, definitely. I mean, these guys are a trip. Again, you know, if you once you read this story, folks, you know, it's just, you know, they're not from here, but they are. But not living in our world, but thus far they are, but different. And then the whole experience is absolutely hysterical, especially how one character seems to have trouble, whereas the other seems just to go with the flow, baby, like the Queen of the Stone Age said, right? I'm digging this. Yeah, do you listen to any music in specific or anything when you're creating and getting into these worlds too? Because again, I think this is wild. I love what you did. It's just so many different characters, and I really kind of see that you're having fun with it. So, you know, I need to know, like, where do you go in mentally, artistically, soulfully when you know, working on something like this?
I really like getting into a good flow state when I'm working, where I don't notice time passing or hunger or anything like that. And when I'm drawing, it's a lot easier than when I'm writing. When I'm drawing, I don't have to be thinking the same way. So I can listen to podcasts or music, whatever I'm in the mood for. And if I put on some super long podcast series, then I can kind of just, it helps me zone out when I'm drawing, which is really helpful. So it's a lot of podcasts, but also music, because I have to switch it up every once in a while. But the if I'm listening to music, it would then be something like a Broadway sound or something, because the longer form of the audio helps me focus. Well, so that's generally what I listen to when I'm drawing.
Interesting. No one's ever answered that music. So anybody that's telling me they get into some metal, some rock, some hip hop, some instrumentals, even symphony. But Broadway, that's interesting. I kind of dig it too. I get it, you know, because it's scenery. You kind of, it's like a soundtrack. I feel you. I get it. I'm digging it. I'm digging it. All right. So what's popping? I know 2023 is almost coming to a close. Wow. Already. Are you doing any cons for the rest of the year? Are you doing LA or anything coming up?
I'm not doing any conventions for the rest of the year. The next one that I do, I can't remember when it is this year. It might be April, but C2E2 is usually the first convention of the new year that
that's
I'll go
you
to.
Celebrate. That's your comic book new year. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Love it, love it. And look at this beautiful book. Is it out now or we wait? Come on, Kat. Tell us.
It's out, and the soft cover is the version that just came out. So that is available wherever you buy books or comics.
Yeah, absolutely. You better go to your bookstore, your comic shop. And your comic shop don't have it. It's easy to ask him to get it for you, because folks, again, the holidays are here, and I think this is something that absolutely perfect for the comic book fan in your life. That, again, outside of superhero advocate, not everything is superheroes. This is what I'm trying to tell people. There's so much for everyone out there. I'm sorry, for me, this is like a hangover with mermaids, you know, top notch, you know, funny stuff going on. Kat is extremely talented. Yo, Kat, for real. I mean, where did you get the humor from? Who are your comedic inspirations? Because it's like, You have me joking. Do you have any comedic inspirations? Did you intentionally make this funny? There's a lot of funny scenes in this for me. Bad nights like they did. I just like experience.
I would say I specifically for the book, I was super inspired by Broad City.
Okay.
And
I know them.
Yeah, that show is hilarious. And it's also kind of, again, like it's refreshing because a lot of the times the more just like idiot characters aren't women, and like women are idiots and mess ups as well. And it was a very refreshing series.
I was married for over 25 years, and you know, just being around some of wifey's friends. Yes. I could corroborate that story.
Yeah.
They could be the baddest dudes sometimes. Holy smokes.
Absolutely.
I would be surprised as a man, like, wow, I didn't know. I love those pleasant surprises. It's fun. All right, so Kat, before we go, what up, man? If you're going to give us any type of advice for people trying to step into the game, especially the journey that you've been, I mean, you say like early 2007 to now, I mean, you've been in the game, man. You know, and congrats to you. You've been doing like amazing, amazing work. Bless, and thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, not many could do it. And like you said, you're telling me you were introverted, afraid to talk to these creators, and look at you, you know, creating these amazing stories and concepts, you know, and blessing us with so much entertainment. So thank you for that. I absolutely appreciate it. So, you know, what would you tell now new creators trying to step into the day and age?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I guess, yeah, if I had any piece of advice for someone trying to get into comics, it would be to make a short comic and complete it. Just do a short comic. You can print it out yourself, super easy. And the most important thing you can show someone is that you can finish something. That is very important. And it's also something that is small. You can hand it to people that you admire and just have that on hand. And it's a great way to learn and grow.
And would you recommend that they also have that to submit, like have something full like that? Because somebody was telling me, don't you ever submit a script. Is that true? Should you have something with some art, with some writing, something pretty, like you said, like almost like an ash can edition?
Absolutely. I would say if you're talking comics, you know, scripts are great, but the art is, I mean, I might be biased, but I think the art is the most important part of a comic.
Well, that's what makes it a comic, obviously. It's a combination of the art and words. Without the art, it's just a book.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Absolutely. It's not a comic without the art. 150%. So, you know, no ego there, no bias. I agree with you. And if anybody has any hate mail, you can send it to Johnny Hughes. He's the EIC. Have some fun. Have some fun. Kat, you are awesome again. Thank you for like spending some time with us today. You know, talk about the book, Thirsty Mermaids. Again, this is amazing. I can't wait for people to actually check. Look, folks, that way you're not mistaken. Let me show it again. Look at that. Beautiful cover. Beautiful colors. I mean, you're doing all the work, right, Kat?
All the color, letters, all that.
Oof. Look at that. The lady wears many, many hats. So salute, because that stuff is not easy. This is why, again, you got to celebrate amazing creators like Kat out there doing, you know, those multiple duties, but are able to create such a beautiful and fun project that, again, I'm going to repeat this. It's the holidays, folks. It's available now. So go to your Amazon, your comic shop, your bookstore. Get this. I'm telling you. You're going to buy it for your comic fan. You know what's going to happen? You're going to read it and wind up keeping it for yourself. I promise you this. Because it is that much fun book. And if any... Okay, all right. Shit. I got to ask always this. If this could be anything else other than what you created thus far, a cartoon, a movie, a TV series, what would you like this to be?
I think it would be a pretty fun animated series, personally.
Oh, series. You want to go on that tsunami level? We go on that Adult Swim with this?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, baby. Let's manifest and let's ask for it to the cartoon god. You know, we need some thirsty mermaids on Cartoon Network. You hear me? Let's make it happen, Cat. All right, especially for 2024. That's what I wish. So again, much continued success. Again, I'm loving the book. When I finish it, I'm going to make sure we talk about it more on ComicCrusaders.com because I'm having a blast with it. I think it is super talented and people need to know what it is. Mi gente, you know what it is with us, right? The outro tells you what to do. Cat, thank you. Mi gente, thank you. Much love. ¡Huepa! ¡Hasta la próxima!
Thank you for listening to the Comic Crusaders podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit ComicCrusaders.com and our extended podcast family over at UndercoverCapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Comic Crusaders app on the Google Play Store today.